Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Let's go to the Lord once more in prayer. Lord God, thank you that you speak to us, that you teach us how we ought to live in this world. Lord, as we come to your word, give us hearts that are humble and teachable. Lord, help us to be like the wise man who is concerned about what you have to say. Guard us from being the fool who has no interest in listening. Help us in this way that we might learn and profit from your word once again by the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's hard to know what to do with all the information you get. You felt this. You are considering going to a restaurant, so you look it up online. You begin to read reviews. And one of two things becomes clear. Either this restaurant is the best restaurant on the planet, and eating there will not only be the best culinary experience you ever had, it might even cure cancer. Or it is the worst restaurant on the planet, and eating there might give you cancer. We live in the information age, and we know maybe better than most that that does not make you wise. It used to be that you at least had to ask an expert about a subject matter, or, you know, if not an expert, at least your dad. And now we all just ask Uncle Google. That all these facts are not making us wiser on their own. They're not equipping us to handle the world we live in. Often they're confusing us because information is only useful to those who know how to use it, who can put what they know in its proper place and respond to it in the proper way. Information is only useful to the wise, which is why the Lord has given us not just the book of Proverbs, but other wisdom literature to help us know how to grow in wisdom. The main idea as we begin this study in Proverbs from this passage that Julianne read for us is this: you need wisdom to know how to live well. You need wisdom to know how to live well, and you can only begin to have wisdom when you rightly fear the Lord. You need wisdom to know how to live well, and you can only begin to have wisdom when you rightly fear the Lord. Consider this in a couple of points. First of all, reflecting on that, why we need wisdom. Wisdom is for living well. Look at those initial verses. After telling us who has spoken and written these Proverbs is Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And then right there in verses 2-4, he tells us at the beginning of the book the purpose of his Proverbs. Verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, more abstract conceptual understanding. Then in verse 3, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, a more practical understanding of what to do, how to live rightly, and then verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So what are the Proverbs for? What is wisdom for? For you to have wisdom, for you to know how to live, and for you to give wisdom to those who are lacking it. That's the purpose of the Proverbs. You can sum up all of that in this. Wisdom is there to help us know how to live well. Notice there in verse 3, prudence goes together with doing what is right and just and fair. Knowing how to live, and not just how to sort of manage your way through it, but knowing in different challenging circumstances, in situations where it's not always necessarily clear what the right or best thing is to do, how to live rightly, with integrity, to not compromise yourself, to live seeking virtue. Or as the Apostle James puts it, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Godly wisdom shows itself in good virtue, in integrity, in doing what is righteous throughout our lives. You know, we so often tend to separate what is clearly spiritual, the things that we think of as sort of especially religious, you know, coming to church, praying, reading the Bible in the morning, and then we separate that out from the more mundane sort of practical things of our life that are just life. And as you read through the book of Proverbs, there are many places in it that feel, frankly, a little secular. You know, it feels like common sense advice, good practical living, but it's hard to see how it has anything to do with God or religion. But that's because the Proverbs are showing us how our faith ought to inform all of our life. A commenter, Derek Kidner, said this: "The Proverbs is a book which very rarely takes you to church. It calls to you in the street about some everyday matter or points out things at home. Its function in Scripture is to put godliness into working clothes, not church clothes." Putting godliness into working clothes. Wisdom is to help us know how to live out godliness throughout our weeks, not just in the obviously spiritual moments. That's what wisdom is for. And then look there in verses 5 and 6. He says who wisdom is for. So if that's the purpose of wisdom, here he says who wisdom is for. He says it is for the wise and the discerning. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for the understanding of proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. In other words, it takes wisdom to understand wisdom. It takes discernment to grow in discernment. That is true and a little frustrating. But it is true. Wisdom requires wisdom to use well, or as Solomon says later in Proverbs 26, a proverb used by a fool are like the legs of a lame man, or like a thorn in the hand of a drunk, useless or a danger to themselves. We need wisdom to use wisdom properly, which raises the question, how do you begin to have wisdom? How do you break in? If you need wisdom to grow in wisdom, how do you move from being simple and foolish to being wise? That's what verse 7 answers. You have to start at the beginning, which is the cornerstone of all wisdom. That's our second point. Where do we start in growing wisdom? Fear the Lord. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is the most fundamental, most important principle to wisdom. There are at least 16 more times where that phrase is used in the book of Proverbs. I say at least because those are the ones I counted. I easily could have missed some. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, at the end of Solomon's recorded teaching ministry, this is what Solomon says in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. He says, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So the beginning and the end of the matter is fear the Lord. In other words, this is the cornerstone reality. This is the thing upon which all other wisdom hangs rightly fearing the Lord. Which ought to raise a question for you. What does that mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? And you can see immediately how we need wisdom to learn wisdom. How do we fear the Lord? Fearing the Lord does not mean that we should flee from the Lord, like things that we fear and we run away from. No, the Lord invites us to draw near to Him. Over and over in the Bible, when people see angels or when they see the risen Christ, the first thing that is said to them is, fear not. Then you don't need to flee. You can draw near. So the fear here is different from that fear that we have when we see something dangerous and we want to run away. And the best analogy of this fear is, I think, the one that the Lord Himself has given us. Namely, the fear that a child has of their father. The fear a child has of their father. Certainly there are fathers who have abused that, but you've seen it even in children who have loving, kind, godly, gentle fathers. That look in the child's eye when their father catches them doing something wrong. They fear their dad. Not because their dad is mean and scary, not because their dad is against them, but because they know now they have to give an account to their dad about what they were just doing. That's the kind of fear that we're talking about here. You fear the person whose opinion of you matters most. The person whose judgments or evaluations about you, you think are most going to affect your life. Right? And that's what happens with the child in that moment. They had thought for a while that the opinions of their friends or their own opinion of themselves is what mattered most in their life. And then they are confronted with the reality that that's not whose opinion is going to inform how they are disciplined in this moment. And the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. Because there are two reasons that why you should fear the Lord. And the first is this: He made you. And what else did God make? All things. God made you and He made everything else. And if you want to know how to use something properly, you should listen to the person who made the thing. They're the ones who understand best what it's made for, its purpose, and how to use it most properly. God created the heavens and the earth, and He created it with order and with purpose. The world is not a random accident. It's the result of a creator who is a God of order. And if we want to understand how the world works, including how we ought to live in the world, we should begin by caring about the opinions, the judgments, of the one who made the thing. He understands what it's for and therefore how to use it best. Isaiah 28, verses 23 through 29 illustrates this kind of wisdom. In Isaiah 28, Isaiah describes how a farmer knows to plow, but not to overplow a field if they want it to produce crops. A farmer knows where to sow which crops that they will grow best and knows how to harvest different crops in order to get food from them. And then after reflecting on how a farmer knows all this, Isaiah says this: "All this is from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom." Because the farmer's wisdom in that situation is not wisdom that he's come up with himself. It's wisdom of understanding specifics about different plants that the Lord has made, and interacting with those plants in ways that accord with how they have been made, the limitations and the purposes put there by their creator. That's what all of human wisdom is, submitting ourselves to God's designs and purposes because His are right and proper, not ours. He's the Lord of the field. He's the Lord of the crops. He's the Lord of our bodies because he made them all. So here's another expression of this kind of godly wisdom. When someone says, when you're picking up that heavy object, lift with your legs and not your back, it's recognizing something about the way God made your body, how it ought to be used in order to lift something up. Or later in the Proverbs, when he says, do not bless your neighbor loudly early in the morning, for it will be received as a curse. Just understanding something of how people operate, how people feel when they're woken out of their sleep in the morning, no matter your intent behind it. Recognizing how God has made things informs how we ought to live in it. But so what's remarkable is the Bible doesn't just tell us about the order of creation. The Bible tells us about the purpose of creation, the purpose for which God made everything. Colossians 1:16, by Christ all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. When we fear the Lord, the Creator, we will pay attention to his designs. And that means not just understanding how he has made things to work, but the goal for which he has made all things. And the goal of all things that he has made is to magnify Jesus Christ. There's a second reason we ought to fear the Lord. You should fear the Lord not only because he is the creator of the earth, but also because he is the judge of all the earth. As Jesus said in Matthew 10, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We will give an account to the Lord. He made this world, he began it, and one day he will bring it to an end. He created us, and he will judge us, body and soul, every one of us. So we ought to be deeply concerned, deeply interested in his judgment of us. What does God think of you? Fear the Lord. We should be concerned about the Lord's judgment far more than the judgment of any other person, what they might think about us. Because they might be able to harm us, but they cannot damn us. In other words, if we rightly fear the Lord and we are concerned with his judgments most of all, we will be most concerned with finding forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The way that God, the judge, has told us, there is a place for mercy. There is a way to be not only forgiven, but embraced as his children through his son, Jesus Christ. Because this is the wisdom that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3:15 when he said that the scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. As we understand who the Lord is and we understand how far short of his glory we have fallen, how much we need his forgiveness, we will understand that we must trust in Jesus, that we ought not delay, but we ought to ask for his mercy today and every day. If we rightly fear the Lord, that means what pleases him is what we ought to be most concerned about. So we ought to be most concerned first with repenting and believing in Jesus Christ, the first and greatest thing he's told us to do. And then even after that, we continue wisely to be concerned about how he thinks we ought to live. As we grow in a fear of the Lord, we will know how to live rightly in this world, beginning with faith and repentance, and then everything else in our life. How that applies, that's what we'll be looking at in later sermons on the Proverbs. But I just want to end briefly by helping us reflect on the question, if the fear of the Lord is so important, how do we grow in a fear of the Lord? We all know there's a difference between saying you fear something and actually fearing it. You know, we all know there's a difference between saying we don't care about the opinions of our peers, and it's quite another thing not caring about the opinions of our peers. So positively, how do we grow? How do we cultivate a fear of the Lord? Well, we ought to do that by meditating on who God is. You know, it's so easy to read the Bible, to talk about your faith with others, and even pray in ways that are still fundamentally all about me. I am very good, I'm sure you are too, at bending the universe to revolve around me, not the one who made it. I can even talk about the Lord and what he's done for me as if I am the one who's most important in that sentence. Because the Lord has done so much for me. But the point of what he has done for me ultimately is not about me. The goal of my salvation is not to bring glory to John. It's to bring glory to Jesus Christ. So when you pray not just simply to grow in a discipline, not even just simply to try to get the things that you desire from the Lord. Pray to speak to the God of the universe, who is real, who made you, and who will judge you. Read the Bible, remembering that the point of the Bible is not me, but God and his glory revealed to us in Christ. So read the Bible not just to get some tidbit to help you through the day, as good and helpful as it is when that happens. Read the Bible to see something more of the Lord and who he is. Talk to others about the Bible, not just to increase the amount of theology and doctrine that you know, but to wonder together at who God is. Remember, we are not the point of all this. The point of my day is not me, but that God's name would be glorified among all peoples. The point of my marriage, as precious as it is to me, is not me, but that a display of the love of Christ would be shown. The point of creation is not me, but God the Son, who holds all things together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Friends, who do you fear? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have revealed yourself by your word. Lord, thank you that you who made us have taught us how we ought to live. Lord, thank you that you have revealed to us the reason for which we are here, to magnify Jesus and enjoy him forever. Lord, cause us to grow in wisdom. Help us to live lives that show we fear you, not only on Sunday, but on every day. Do this, we ask, for our good. Do it even more, we ask, that your name might be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.